that's Colossians, and I've kind of stayed. Colossians 3, this part where he tells us to set our passion, our seeking on those things that are above, and our minds on things that are above. And we've been talking about that, the idea of being kingdom people, people who love Jesus, who love the idea of being with God. We think about it now. We have a passion for it now so that when the day comes, we'll be ready, right? And we've talked about a couple of things with that. First is there's been a morality of the kingdom that God has called us to think about being his kind of person, right? Being his kind of person, that means, you know, we don't behave the way everybody else behaves and what the world accepts, what the world follows after or chases after. We don't chase after those things. We have a different sense of who we're supposed to be because we want to be like our Father. We want to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul gave us a whole list of things to throw aside and a whole list of things to draw into our hearts and into our lives. And last week we talked about the unity in the kingdom of God. That in the kingdom of God, again, there's no Greek, no Jew, no free, no slave. And we said there's no black, no white, no rich, no poor. That because when we're in Christ, we're one people. And then if you follow all the behaviors that he told us to follow, we should be able to be at peace with one another. We should be able to forgive one another, love one another, no matter what happens, right? So now we're talking about the dedication, the complete dedication required to be a kingdom person. All right? So in this next few phrases, this next few verses, I just found it very much, if you know the law, right? You know the law, the two great commandments, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And if you look at that, we've kind of covered that. You know, kingdom unity, love your neighbor as yourself. And then say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Right? Those are the two commands. And I think Paul, being a good Old Testament scholar and a person who had the Word of God richly in him as he's writing, I think that might have been what he was thinking when he wrote these things. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. You know, one of the things that we can be absolutely certain of in this world is that we will face trouble. We will face, you know, all kinds of, you know, difficult situations. Some of us have faced sickness. Some of us have faced death. Those are some of the real disheartening troubles. We find injustice in the world around us all the time, right? We have all kinds of pressures and torments that go on that will cause us to be shaken, that will cause us to be anxious inside, right? To be worried. I mean, a lot of us worry about money. You know, am I going to be able to take care of bills? Am I going to be able to take care of this? Am I going to be, you know, in other words, and that starts to mount up. The more you think about it, the worse it gets, you know? I've decided just not to think about it. You know, it's like if I don't think about it, right? But in other words, there's all these troubles and all these anxieties that are built into the world that we live in because it's such an uncertain and shakable world. It doesn't matter where you are. You know, it's interesting. I've known very wealthy people, and they also are very worried about their stuff because they know in a minute it can all be taken away. It can all disappear. You know, so there's a lot of anxiety with that. Our health, right? I mean, all it takes is one trip to the doctor and, oh, by the way, here's some bad news. And your whole world is shaken up. You know, we've had friends that they get in an accident and it changes everything in their life because now their legs don't work or their back is messed up or whatever, right? So there are all these troubles that are out there, all these things that can destroy our sense of well-being, our sense of being at peace. Peace. Rest. You know, one of the great qualities of the kingdom of heaven is rest. It really is. I think about, you know, I think in life we get a couple of times where we find that space where at the moment nothing's wrong, right? You ever been there? It doesn't last long, right? It's like at the moment, nothing's wrong. There's no calamity. And then with that, there's a sense of God's presence, and a sense of joy, and a sense of rest. That to me, that's the kingdom of God. That's all the kingdom of God. That moment lasts for eternity. Here, it lasts for a minute. You know, it's like it's gone. The phone rings. Somebody walks in or something happens and all of a sudden your peace is shattered. Well, Paul says, listen, as kingdom people, as those who are setting our passion on things that are above, those who are thinking about the things that are above. In other words, we're kingdom-minded, kingdom-seeking people. Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, right? There is a peace that is always available to us. That is something I really, you know, with all the world and all the people that seek things in the world, you know, no wonder there are so many self-help books and so many counselors and such, because how do you find peace without Jesus Christ? How do you find peace without being able to tap into that kingdom of God and that thinking that, you know, just clears everything up? Have you ever had a turmoil in your life and you find everything is upsetting you and you start to get nervous and then you just find a quiet space and you begin to open up the Word of God and you look at it and all of a sudden your entire perspective changes. All the things that were so much pressing on your heart and mind, all of a sudden they just kind of subside. There's a quietness that comes over your soul. There's a peace. Paul says, you know, that should rule our hearts. And I have to admit that I need to spend, you know, more time letting the peace of God rule my heart instead of worrying, anxiety, fear, those kinds of things. Those really, you know, they're there because they're part of this world. But if I am setting my mind on things that are above, you know what? The things of this world kind of diminish and they soften and they go away. And there's that peace of the kingdom. And it's always there. It's always ready for us. You know, that's the one thing we got to know about God. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. The kingdom of God doesn't come and go. It's always there. He's always present. It's us. We're the wanderers. We're the ones that try to say, well, I got all these problems and I got to take care of them all. And we're the ones that get fixated on the things of the world to the point that it ruins our peace. He's saying to us, let it rule. Rule your heart. Rule your heart. When you start feeling this, you know, that, you know what I'm saying, that jumbled up, that feeling. It's time to find the kingdom. It's time to set your mind on the kingdom. It's time to find that space that always exists in Christ. Because Christ is there. Remember how he started this out. He said, you know, seek those things that are above where Christ is raised. In other words, our Lord is in heaven. Our Lord is there. So all we do is we just start to set our passion on Him, our mind on Him. And again, it puts everything in a different perspective. Love the Lord with all your heart. In your heart, peace should reign. If you're doing that, if you're walking with God, if you're a kingdom person, peace. Peace should be reigning in your heart. When it's not reigning in your heart, guess what? We're going to make mistakes. You want to see me at my worst? It's when I'm upset. I'm worried about things. And, you know, some of you guys have seen me at my worst. You know? Yeah, he's laughing. He knows. He's, you know? Yeah, you know? But that's it, you know? But and it's like, you know, and that happens. It does happen. But all it tells me is, Randy, you need to go find that space real quick, you know, where you get yourself in some real trouble here, right? All right. So if we love the Lord with our heart, we find that peace of God. With all your mind, he says, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. This is my, you know, this is like a pitch right in my sweet spot. I love the Word of God. I spend a lot of time engaged in the Word of God. Our seminary, Gordon Conwell, they basically advertise themselves as a place where the Word of God is central and taught. And they simply say that there is a famine of the Word of God in our society. A guy named Barna, who studies the church, he, you know, did a study some years ago, which basically said that you know, two-thirds of sermons are very loosely, if at all, based upon Scripture. And that only a very small number of Scriptures actually follow the text and let the text tell you what comes next. It's usually something that the minister or somebody's making up out of their own mind. They're telling stories, they're doing other things, but they're not telling you what is the truth of God, what is the Word of God. There is a famine of the Word of God in our culture. One of the problems that, you know, we were talking about this in our Sunday school, when people move away from the Word, and it doesn't mean that you totally throw the Bible out. It just means you want to kind of mix it with a little of this and a little of that. You want to make it more palatable to the culture abroad. You want to make it so that people can enjoy listening to it. Without being worried about sin, without being worried about, you know, the need of a sacrificed Savior, you know, we just mix enough of our culture into it to make it easy to listen to. We got easy listening churches. We don't want to talk about, you know, sin and such. But look at what he says. He says that the Word of God needs to dwell in you richly. We've talked about this many times, the idea of studying, learning, memorizing Scripture, knowing the Word of God, knowing it so well that when a problem comes up, you don't think, oh, what would, you know, so-and-so do? You think, okay, Scripture says this. Scripture teaches me how to behave. I'm driving down the road and somebody cuts me off and my human instinct is slam on the horn, hit the brake, you know, and then charge up on them. You know, I'm going to get them, you know. And yet Scripture tells me, as much as possible, as much as lies within you, live at peace with all people. Okay, back off, let them go, you know. Take it easy, right? Right? You see, Scripture guides you in every aspect of your being, every aspect of your thinking. I've got to make decisions about family, money, whatever like that. You know, or like I say, you get worried about money. And Scripture says, look at the birds, look at the flowers of the fields. God knows them, He knows you. Why are you worried? Don't do it. Scripture says it. It guides you in every aspect of living, in everything that it speaks about. It is central and it is absolutely necessary. And we should have so much of it in our minds and so much of it in our hearts that no matter what comes up in our lives, there's a Scripture, there's something that God would use to educate us, to teach us about how to live before Him. As I said, there is a poverty of Scripture, of the Word of God in our churches. Most of the time what people do today is they grab a book that somebody wrote and they use that. So they're taking a secondary source. They're taking something, you know, that somebody else, here's my opinions about this and here. And then instead of using Scripture, they're using a secondary source to talk about it. So now you've got a really buried Scripture. You're talking about somebody's opinion about Scripture. Unfortunately, I know ministers, many ministers don't study. They don't do their own work. They just pick up somebody else's work and they read it and they say, okay, that's what that means. That's not good. That's not right. There's a need for the Word of God. There's a need that we have to keep that Word alive in us so that we can do the things that are pleasing to God. Here, God has given us a Word that costs so much. Do you know how many people have died? You know, the prophets died giving us the prophetic word. You know that people died trying to get this word translated into English. People have suffered a great deal through history to give us the Word of God that we take so for granted. On top of that, for us in this generation, with all the tools that we have, we should be able to do more than anyone's ever done with the Word of God before. I can sit down in with my laptop and with all the, I've got like hundreds and hundreds of books in my laptop. and I can push a couple of keys, and within, you know, seconds, I can find out, you know, what certain words mean in all these different languages and what have you, so that I understand it. What used to take hours now takes minutes. There's no excuse for us to be a people that are casting the word aside for other things when we have so much ability around us to make us even better at understanding the word. For you as parishioners, it's just a matter of listening to it, getting into your heart, getting into your mind, reading it, thinking about it, having the word permeate who you are. You know, for me, in this house, in this space, I have suffered some indignities through the years because I have said, listen, it's the word of God and the word alone. We're not going to have psychology. We're not going to have, you know, philosophy. We're not going to have anything else other than the Word of God. Because, you know, there ought to be one place on this planet where the Word of God reigns, where the truth of God is all that you get and nothing else. You know? There's too many compromises going on in our culture right now. So anyway, he says, let the word richly dwell in you. And then he says, so you teach, right? We teach. Now this second part, this is the thing that people come to church for. You get admonished. Don't you love that? You know what that means? You get told you're wrong. You get told, hey, you know what? The way you're thinking isn't right. The way you're thinking isn't godly. Stop it. Get yourself on the right path instead of the wrong path. You know, that word is used by Paul more in relationship to the word of God than any other word. To admonish, he uses the word correct, to rebuke, to give instruction in righteousness, right? That is really the word. The word is like sandpaper. I like to work with wood, you know? You take a piece of pine and you take the coarsest sandpaper you can find. You get like a, what they call a 40 or 50 grit. You can shave that thing down in just a matter of seconds. You know, if you got an electric sander, especially, you go, boom, you know, and it just shapes it into the shape that you want it to be because it's, you know, it's coarse, it's hard, and it's there to shape, right? The Word of God is meant to shape us. It's meant to take us from being sinful-minded, selfish, arrogant people and to shape us into the children of God, to sanctify us and make us think the way God thinks it and make us see the world the way God sees it. If we get rid of that, then we just end up hearing something and staying the same. Well, that's not what the Word of God is for. It's to transform us. It's to shape us, to make us into God's people. It's a small wonder in a world, you know, that we live in that people don't want to be shaped. We live in a society we're talking about that, you know, people say, oh, we're all good anyway. All human beings are basically good. Well, that scripture says absolutely not. It says you're quite the opposite. We're altogether evil. We're altogether bad. And if we don't get some help, if we don't get some shaping going on in our lives, if something doesn't come to alter who we are, we're in trouble with God. So the Word of God should reign in our hearts. It should reign in our mind. So you love the Lord with all your mind. You put the Word of God in. You keep storing it up. He says, be rich in it. I don't care if your bank account says zero. If you've got the Word of God in your mind, in your heart, so that you can't think of a thing without thinking of a scripture. Right? You think of a problem, here's a scripture. Think of a test, here's a scripture. You know? Jesus did that, didn't he? You know, the enemy takes him out, and he's going to test him, and he says, you know, hey, Jesus, stones into bread. Come on. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We did that at VBS. Anyway, yeah. You know? Jump off this building. Show me, you know. He says, you should not tempt the Lord your God. He just, the scripture was every problem, every test, every trial, the scripture, the scripture, the scripture. See? That's what we're supposed to do. We say, okay, I love the Lord with all my heart, that I'm going to be able to find peace with God at all circumstances. If I love the Lord with all my mind, I've got His truth ruling and reigning in me. So I know what God wants me to be. Love Him with all your soul. As you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. You know, there's a story from the book of Chronicles, chapter 20. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he's going out to battle, but there are three enemies that are out there to defeat him. There are three enemies. It's like three against one armies, okay? And it's a dreadful position to be in. And so in the middle of that, the prophetic word comes and Jehoshaphat says, I want people appointed to sing songs. And they sang songs as they gathered the army together. And they were singing, our God is a mighty God. They were singing that our God's love endures forever. They were singing the Psalms and they stepped up ready to go to battle. And they were marching along and praising the Lord. Can you imagine the faith that's growing in their hearts as they're going down, praising the Lord and giving thanks to God for who He is and what He does, right? And they got to the crest of the hill that looked over the battlefield, and when they got there, all the enemies were dead. They had fought each other and killed each other. And then I think maybe the praise really got loud, right? They began to just really thank God for who He is. To sing songs, to praise the Lord, to give God that sense of thankfulness for who He is and what He's done. I love to come in here and worship with you guys. It's just one of the highlights of my week. We do it on Wednesday night. I love that too, Just to spend some time praising God, worshiping God, giving thanks to God, setting your heart on God, and just say, wow, Lord, You are indeed sweet. You are indeed good. There is no one like You, mighty God. And we want to sing praises. And and actually it's interesting because it's songs. Psalms is actually the Greek word, and hymns is actually the Greek word. And I like the fact that we sing some of these older hymns. Do you know why that's good? That joins us with all those people that came before. People have been singing some of these songs for hundreds of years. Saints that are, waiting for the kingdom, beyond this world, sang those songs with us, before us, right? And we're just part of that continuous praise to the Lord. So I like the hymns as well as the new praise songs, To praise the Lord with gratitude, love, Just thinking about who God is, what He has done, what He is doing. What has He done for you in the past? What do you hope that He does for you right now? What do you hope that He has for you in the future? Great fuel for your soul to praise the Lord. And then it's all your strength. So you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. I know that there's, I've got in my family, I got a nurse and an engineer and a teacher, they're all out there, doing things, working and what have you. And I think about that because at one time I was a carpenter. I did rough carpentry. I smashed my fingers in the name of Jesus. Yes. Because you go out there and I did. When I went out to do my carpentry, I did it as a Christian. I went out to serve as a Christian would serve, and I wanted to honor the name of Christ by being there when I'm supposed to be there, do the work, and when you smash your finger, just say, oh, that hurt, and that's it, it's the idea. It's the idea of carrying Christ with you wherever you go. My wife was actually saved at a Bible study at work, Guys were just at work, and so they started a little Bible study, and she joined up, and it helped her to see things she hadn't seen and make decisions about her walk with God. To take Jesus with you in all the spheres of your life. That's what He says. Whatever you say in word or in deed, do it unto the Lord. You don't ever leave Jesus at home, do you? You can't do that, right? You can't be a kingdom person where you're seeking God, you're seeking what's above, you've got your mindset on what's above, and you say, yeah, but right now I'm taking a vacation from Jesus. That's a very bad idea. If you ever think that way, you need to quit it, because that's a real bad idea to think, like I'm a pastor, right? So when I take a vacation, right, I'm still a pastor. I'm still need to pray. I still need to worship. I still need to call on the name of the Lord, right? You don't take a break from Jesus. It would be bad. I don't even know if that's possible, to be honest. But you want to take Jesus with you in your workplace. Later on, when He talks about servants, He actually says, whatever you do in your soul, and they don't translate it this way, but it's in your psuche. You know, it's ek psuche. Out of your soul, do your work as to the Lord. And I just like that. In other words, it's like, how do I do it? How do, it's not about what others, is how I look at it. It's how I put myself into it. I'm putting it as a spiritual activity, whatever I do, wherever I am. If I'm cleaning the house, it's to the Lord. If I'm mowing the lawn, it's to the Lord. If I'm whatever, you name the job, you name, if I'm fishing, I caught a pike this week. I caught a 2-foot pike on Thursday. That was fun. And I put him back right away so he wouldn't die and somebody else could get him, you know. But that was, you know, that was a lot of fun. Yeah. Started talking to him. Poor fish, get that hook out of there. Come on, buddy. You can get back in. You know. But whatever you do, you're with the Lord, right? That's it. Okay. So to be, a person of the kingdom. Set your mind, you seek what's above. Just a passion. Going back to the first sermons, right? Seek what's above. Set your mind on what's above, right? Be the person, the moral person that God wants you to be. Morality is a part of it, right? Love one another. Love one another, and don't let the world define what that love looks like. Don't ever let the world. It's all in Christ. What does Christ say we are? And Christ says we're brothers. Christ says we're family. Christ says, you know, we're one, right? So we're not, well, this and this, no. Even separate churches is not necessarily a healthy thing sometimes because, you know, because people, you're not my pastor, so I ain't got to talk to you. I say, well, you know, in the kingdom of heaven, dear, you know, you got to be careful, you know. So love, you know, one another. Seek unity. Be patient, forgiving, merciful. And above everything else, make sure as we're dedicated to God that we want to do it heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's always been the desire of God, to have a people that would love Him with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, all their strength. If we do that, then indeed we are kingdom people. It's not impossible, is it? It's not impossible. It's what God set in front of us, right? So as we come to the table today and we think about who God is and what He's done for us already, we want to prepare our hearts and just say, in effect, as we take this, Lord, I want to be a kingdom person. I want to seek that which is in front of me, that which is above. I want to be that person morally, spiritually, you know. I want to be that person when it comes to the community and love and grace. I want to be that person that loves the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength. Okay? Let's just prepare our hearts for the Lord's table.